as is in 10th canto and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But Srila Prabhupada especially presented this system of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy as taught by Rupa Goswami in such a way that everyone and anyone in a very honest and genuine manner can make real spiritual advancement. And form is represented by three. To Shukadeva Goswami was more valuable than his life. Every syllable of those 18,000 slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Parikshit, he was in a helpless condition. He was so humble, he was just drinking every word as if it meant his life, and it did. He was taking shelter of the sound vibration of Krishna's pastimes. We have to learn to take shelter of the association of Vaishnavas. We have to learn to take shelter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We must learn to take shelter of our service, which is the gift of God, which is none different than Lord Hari himself, who appears in the form of devotional service. We should learn to take shelter of the holy prasad that we are given, which is none different than Krishna's mercy. We should learn to take shelter, most of all, of Krishna's holy name, which is always at our side whenever we turn to him. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And this is why Mahaprabhu said, Trinadapi suniche na tarorapi sahishnana, amani na manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Only in this humble state of mind can we actually take shelter of the name of God. So with great enthusiasm, let us glorify Prahlad Maharaj and Lord Nrsingadev in our hearts, through our words and through our actions on this holy day of Nrsinga Chaturdasi. Thank you very much. Hari Om. Tonight, exactly at 5 o'clock, the initiations will begin. We'll not be even 1 minute late. That is our plan. And we'll have nice kirtan, nice abhishek for Narasingadev, Prahlad, and Lakshmi Devi. We will also discuss this wonderful pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam of the appearance of Lord Narahari. But I wanted to narrate these few words this morning, because we should be in the right mood to hear this narration. Nrsingadev is none different than his name and none different than the story in which he appeared. We should be listening to this story in a desperate state of helplessness, taking shelter of these words. And if you do, you will attain the greatest benediction of pure devotional service. In fact, Lord Nrsingadev is anxiously waiting to place his hand upon the heads of all of us. He's just waiting for us to become like Prahlad, a humble child at his lotus feet. Hari Om. Now everyone will go on Harinam Sankirtan. Much limitation. Normal person. Why are you making all this fanciful show of so-called fake devotion? So Lord Chaitanya just walked away. And he came to the house of Srivas. Srivas Thakur greeted him. Lord Chaitanya was in a disturbed state of mind, transcendentally disturbed. So he said, let us start kirtan. They began the kirtan. Gauranga Mahaprabhu danced. And he stopped the kirtan. He said, I am not feeling any love of God today in this kirtan. My heart is not experienced, but bhakti. Why is this? Again the kirtan began. Again Lord Chaitanya started to dance. After some time he stopped the kirtan. He said, I am so unfortunate. I am so sinful. I cannot taste the nectar of the holy name. I am experiencing no love of God in my heart. What is happening? Advaitacharya was in a very jolly mood that day. He said, oh my Lord, I can tell you what's happening. You are not experiencing love of God because I have drunk it all myself. I have taken it from you and drunk it myself. He says, you will not give it to me, so I have to take it myself. You give it to avadutas like Nityananda Prabhu. You give it to the most fallen. You give it to the most sinful. You give it to the most degraded people freely, but you will not give it to me or Srivas. The reason is, Lord Chaitanya accepted these other devotees as his servants. However, Advaita and Srivas were older than him. They were senior Vaishnavas. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very, very careful to teach proper Vaishnava etiquette. So he always honored them, worshipped them, offered all respect to them, and was always eager to serve them. Now a devotee does not want to be honored, does not want to be respected, does not want to worship. A devotee simply wants to serve. So Advaitacharya and Srivas were very, very disturbed. Because Lord Chaitanya would always honor them and never allow them to personally serve him. Unless he went into some trance where he forgot. Not forgot, but he was not in external awareness of who they were. Then they would do it. Advaitacharya was like this many times. Another time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would never allow Advaitacharya to touch his feet. But one time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell unconscious in kirtan, and Advaitacharya just went right to his feet and completely covered his entire body with the dust from Lord Chaitanya's feet. Then Lord Chaitanya came out of his ecstatic trance and he started the kirtan, and again he didn't feel any ecstasy. So he asked in a very grave voice, did anyone become... That person will become as first class as possible. Doesn't mean everybody was the same. Does that answer your question? Very well. No two people are the same. Even in our ashram, Sanat Kumar and Govinda have had the exact same training. There's a world of difference between them. Srinivas and Govinda have the exact same training. They have the same training all their lives at home as brothers. They've had their same training in the ashram as god brothers. And have you met two different types of people like this? But they're both first-class, wonderful devotees. And then we have Sankirtan and Krishnananda. Sankirtan Prabhu and Krishnananda Prabhu. Same training. We will. Who would ever know? They're both first-class, wonderful Vaishnavas. but according to their nature, according to their inclinations. They express that devotion of being the servant of the servant of the servant in their own very unique, transcendentally personalized way. And then we have Vrindavan Kishore and Vrindavan Ananda. Both grew up in the same house together, trained the same in the ashram. One's a grihastha, one's a brahmachari. But they're both very nice and sincere devotees. The most important thing is everyone is very much attached to serving Krishna and his devotees, and everyone is very attached to chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. Nasa balakilyo Dumbara finapavane. So he restrained his anger, and in the process of restraining his anger, that came out. That anger was released from between his eyebrows in the form of Rudra, O Lord Shiva. He gave also birth to Swayambhuva Manu. Swayambhuva Manu is equal to the Kumaras. They are both Mahajans. Brahma asked Swayambhuva Manu, please get married and help me procreate society and be king. Swayambhuva Manu was so humble. He said, yes, my father, of course. I will do anything you ask me to do. I'm surrendered to you. Whatever you want, I will do, my father. If you want me to get married, I will be happy to get married. If you want me to procreate and be king of mankind, I will certainly do. So Lord Brahma was very, very pleased with Swayambhuva Manu, who was married. But then what was his example? He was not just an ordinary father and husband and king. He was such a pure devotee of the Lord. He was exactly what Brahma wanted him to be. Brahma didn't want him to be get married and just be a grihamedi, just materialistic person enjoying life in this material world. Brahma wanted him to get married and be a perfect example of grihastha in Krishna consciousness and be an example for the whole world to follow, to be a Mahajan. So when he took Brahma's instruction, he didn't take part without the rest. He took the whole instruction. You want me to marry? You want me to be king? You want me to have children? You want me to be a pure devotee? You want me to be centered completely around Krishna? I will do it all. Perfectly surrendered soul. It is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, whole chapter about how Swayambhuva Manu lived. He had a beautiful palace. He had so many servants and so many assistants, ministers, He was literally the king of mankind. But everything was centered around Krishna. His home was centered around the temple of Krishna. How, with such elaborate opulence and devotion, he worshipped the deity of Krishna in his home. Unbelievable what type of deity worship he performed. And he invited everyone to participate. Swayambhuva Manu, 24 hours a day he was remembering Krishna. This is how he managed his kingdom and his family. When he would take rest at night, he would lay down in his bed, and there would be Brahmins and Rishis just chanting the glories of Krishna's pastimes for him as he would go to sleep. And naturally, when you go to sleep in that atmosphere, he would just dream about Krishna's pastimes all night long. He wasn't just, I can lift 100 pounds. Maybe God could lift 120. But no, not more than that. It's not possible. Is that your consciousness? That is not perception of truth. You are infinitesimal. God is infinite. God could do anything. If you could create this earth planet and Mars and Venus and Saturn and all the sun and all of this universe and make everything working so systematically and scientifically in such perfect order, if you could create that, you couldn't create a snake to hold it? Huh? For us, it's absolutely believable. Whatever the scripture says God's done is totally believable. Just like, I won't tell the whole story, but Narada Muni was asked by one very proud Brahmin, when you saw Narayan, what was he doing? He said, Narayan told me to tell you that he was threading an elephant through the eye of a needle. And the Brahmin said, that's ridiculous nonsense. How could anyone put an elephant through the eye of a needle? So Narada left thinking, such kind of Brahmins, what is this world coming to? And then he came to a little cobbler, a Shudra cobbler. And that cobbler said, oh, you have gone to see Narayan? What was he doing? He said he was putting an elephant through an eye of a needle. That's what Narayan told me to tell you. He said, oh, how wonderful. And Narada Rishi said, You believe me that he was actually putting an elephant through the eye of a needle? He said, of course. You see this banyan tree we're sitting under? See how big and wide it is? How it stretches in all directions? And you see the thousands and thousands of seeds on this banyan tree? Within each fruit are tiny little seeds, hundreds of seeds. And this same God, my God, he has put an entire banyan tree in one of these little tiny seeds. Is that true? Did God put the whole banyan tree inside of the seed? Everyone has to say yes. Can you do that? Can your friends do that? Can your uncle or auntie do that? Can the Prime Minister of India do that? Can the President of the United States do that? Can Michael Jackson do that? Can the world champion, World Wrestling Federation champion do that? Does that mean nobody can? But we see that God is doing it. In every seed we see, every tree you see, came out of a tiny little seed. Smaller than your fingertip. If God can make that a banyan tree and a tiny little seed. What is the problem for him to put the elephant through the eye of a needle? If God has created all the planets, all the oceans, and don't say it happened by chance. I will explain that in the state, the government makes so many good things, at least they're supposed to. But they also make a prison house for people who have chosen to be bad, to keep them away from the good people. The spiritual world is meant is everything is all good, because everyone wants to be good. But for those who don't want to be good, there has to be a place to keep them away from the spiritual world, and that's this material world. Durga means prison. Do you expect everyone to be good in a prison? No. Similarly, we don't expect to be everyone to be good in... There's another class of people who know intellectually that I'm bound, I'm suffering. Material life is not good. And somehow or other, I have received the key. But I don't have time to use it. I don't have time to open my chains. I know it's good, I know it's right, I know it's the ultimate goal of life, and I know I have this key after millions and millions of births, Brahmanda, after traveling through so many millions of species of life, through so many universes, finally I have come in contact with this key. It will release me from all suffering. It will give me entrance into my real home of Vaikuntha, to be with Krishna. I have it, I have it. But I don't have time to open the things because I have to do my work and I have to raise my family and I have to... so many other obligations, so many other duties that Maya is putting before me. So maybe when I get old, then I will use the key. But we do not know. We may lose the key before we use the key. It's a very dangerous proposal. So Krishna, he sends his devotees, take it and use it now. At every moment, Maya is trying to capture our intelligence. Take it, don't lose it, use it now. Krishna is within our heart. When he sees that we make this choice, he gives us all help, all facility. But when he sees that we make the wrong choice, the choice of exploitation, he will give us all help and all facility. There is a saying, dig your own grave. That's material life. We're working so hard to dig our own graves. If someone gave you a shovel and said, here, dig your own grave, would you be enthusiastic to do it? And then bury yourself in that grave? You say no, but we've been doing it birth after birth throughout our life. Maya gives us a shovel, says, dig your own grave, you fool. And yes, yes, I will dig. I will work so hard. I will work overtime. But I have to dig this grave. Because it's such a nice grave. Just look how much effort I have put into it. Better grave than anyone else. And then people are comparing graves to each other. The wife says, why, he has a better grave than you're giving me. My friend Devi Dasi, look what nice grave she has. Why are you giving me such a shoddy grave? Dig harder, dig harder. Yes, yes, Mataji, I will. In this way, the whole civilization is just grave-digging civilization. Everyone's digging deeper and deeper and deeper and then burying themselves more and more and more. And Krishna is giving you the facility. You want to dig your grave? Here is the shovel. Here is the strength to dig it. Here is the intelligence to do it in a very, very scientific way.
here's a whole philosophy to justify every time you take a stroke into your grave. Here's your license, your authorization. I'll give you everything that you want. Just keep digging. Hare Krishna. Or there's another saying, give him enough rope to hang himself. Person is going to the market. I need rope. Why do you need rope? To hang myself. But you would think that person is a fool. It doesn't make sense. But yet the whole civilization is such types of fools. And Krishna will give us all the rope we want if we choose to hang ourselves. However, if we desire to serve, if we desire to dedicate our lives for the pleasure of Krishna, Krishna will give us all facility for that. You want to chant the holy names to purify your life? Krishna gives you the power for the tongue to chant. He will give you the power of the ears to hear. He will give you the power of concentration according to your desire. You want to dance? Krishna gives you, through the various energies and the life airs, he gives you the power to jump and to dance. He gives you the power to serve through the movement of your hands, through the grace of intelligence. He gives all facility. And every moment that you are engaged in devotional service, you are becoming purified by the grace of the Lord. He will reciprocate with you. So we have to decide what we want in life. A pure devotee has completely surrendered to the choice of total dedication in the service of the Lord. A karmi person has completely committed himself to the decision of material enjoyment and exploitation of the resources of material energy. A neophyte devotee is wavering between these two choices. Sometimes he wants service, and sometimes he wants enjoyment. And there's a battle, like Kurukshetra. Within our heart, there's these two sides. There's the Kurus, headed by Duryodhan, saying to you, be happy, enjoy, steal the property of Krishna to your heart's content. After all, you don't know what tomorrow will bring, so enjoy today. Hare Krishna. And on the other side is Pandavas, led by Krishna himself, saying, don't involve yourself in sense gratification. Just serve. Just be a humble devotee. Trinarapi suniche na tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Just be a humble servant and chant the holy names of Lord Krishna. According to the choice we make, Paramatma will facilitate and give us all help. These choices are not only for our whole life, but at every moment. When we are chanting japa, Maya is telling, by your free will, think of this. It will give you so much mental pleasure. And Krishna is saying, Man mana bhavamad bhakto. Think of me, I'm in my name. So at every moment we have the choice. Will I be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. We can be like that. Or we can be Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Krishna will help you according to your choice you make. Am I going to try to hear the name? Or am I going to enjoy the thoughts of the senses and their objects? Krishna will give you the power to do either one. He'll give you such an enjoyable japa session, meditating on the objects of the senses, if that's what you want. Or he'll give you a very austere japa session, trying to completely meditate on his name. Krishna says what tastes like nectar in the beginning tastes like poison in the end. And what tastes like poison in the beginning is nectar for all eternity. That means the tapasya of choosing Krishna. We have become so habituated to choosing Maya, we have programmed ourselves like a hog to enjoy eating stool. Stool does not taste good for a civilized person. But when you condition yourself to eating it and eating it and eating it, you develop a taste for it. Somehow or other, we have developed such a taste for the stool-like objects of sense gratification, and we lost our taste for nectar. How is that possible? Only by the mercy of Paramatma. Only by that mercy. How can the soul ever try, how could the soul ever be satisfied with material enjoyment, which is like stool? Only because we want that. Krishna gives us that experience of enjoyment. However, the nectar of spiritual life, if we want that, he will awaken our desire. He will awaken that experience within our hearts. We are completely depending on Krishna at every stage. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yovedadati kaman. We have to live in such a way to show Krishna what we really want. That's really all. We should not be attached to the fruits of our action. We should be attached like anything. That at every moment I am demonstrating to Krishna what my desire really is. How I want to utilize my free will. A person may get big, big results in his service with a desire for adoration and distinction. So what will Krishna give him? Some purification will be there, but give them all sorts of adoration and distinction, which is only a distraction from our real goal. Another devotee may get big, big result or may get very small result, but his purpose is just to give his or her life to demonstrate to Krishna, I want to serve you. I want to be your devotee. I want to please you. If you're trying to chant the holy name, even if your mind is wandering, if you're trying, you're showing Krishna, this is what I want. If you do not try, then you are not demonstrating your desire to Krishna. Even if something is very difficult and we're not able to do it properly, our service is perfect if we're just sincerely endeavoring according to our capacity to demonstrate our desire to Krishna. This is what I want. I may be totally useless. I may not be able to do it properly, but I want to serve you. I want to please you. That desire is millions of times more important to Krishna than the results you achieve in your service. Therefore, we should put our heart into whatever we do. We should not do anything mechanically or unconsciously. We should do everything with a deep and sublime desire to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. Hare Krishna. Here we are finding, in this beautiful, beautiful verse, the universal form of the Lord. How everything within the entire creation can be seen and understood through this wonderful description. And what is most important to understand, not all the mechanical details, but who is the operator of this great machine and how to please him. That is the most important thing. The Sankhya Yoga philosophy describes in very, very scientific analysis how this material creation is working. And for those who have analytical propensities, all your questions will be answered. However, the most important thing, which includes all other knowledge, is simply to understand who is that person who is making it all happen and how to please him. If you master the entire Sankhya philosophy spoken by Kapila Muni, there's two Kapila Munis, they both spoke Sankhya philosophy. One was an atheist and one was the son of Devahuti, who was an avatar of the Lord. If you understand so deeply on the intellectual level how this creation is working, but you do not come to the conclusion, it's all a waste of time. The atheist Kapila, he describes how creation is working very, very detailed, but doesn't come to the conclusion that there is a person behind it all and you should surrender to him and you should serve him. Therefore, all that knowledge is just an accumulation of so much useless information. Srila Rupa Goswami explains, you should not read too many books. That means mundane books. We have seen, we have met scholars, they know so much about everything, but they don't know what the purpose of it is. Like so many millions and trillions of zeros all put together. We can learn so much about this creation. The scientists, they're actually finding out so much information about how this universe is operating. However, a little child in Krishna consciousness may not know any of these things. But that child knows, I don't know how it's working, but I know who's making it work, and that is Krishna. And I want to make Krishna happy by serving him and by chanting his holy name. Sarvasya chaham hridisha nivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha vidaisht sarveraham eva vejo vidanta kridveda videva chaham. 15th chapter of Gita describes how Krishna is within every living being's heart. He is the source of remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. He facilitates us according to our desire. But he, Krishna, the person who is the source of everything that exists, the ultimate object of everyone's love. He is the goal of all the Vedas. He is the very conclusion of all knowledge. By all scriptures, he is to be known. So if we read all the scriptures, but we don't know Krishna in the end, we have simply wasted our precious time. There are so many yogis and so many pundits and so many gurus and so many people who are speaking from so many scriptures. If they don't come to the conclusion that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and that he is that to surrender to him is the ultimate goal of everything I'm studying, then it's all a waste of time. Sarvadharman parityaja. Abandon all varieties of religion. Just surrender to me. This is the conclusion, the siddhanta of all knowledge. So whether we are a simple child trying to please Krishna, or whether we are great, great scientists with all of our academic knowledge trying to serve Krishna and please Krishna, the real glory is in whether or not we please Krishna. somehow or other. Whether you are Hanuman lifting mountains, or whether you are a little spider lifting a grain of sand, if you please Ram, your life is perfect. If you do not please Ram, whatever you are doing, sameva hi kevalam, it is all simply a waste of time. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. Human life is so rare. Its purpose is simply to please Krishna. Atapumbir vijastrestas varana shrama vibhagasha shvanushtatasya dharmasya samsadir hari toshanam. Whatever one's status within society may be, if we perform our work in such a way that Krishna is pleased, that is the perfection of our life. It is the goal of all of our occupational duties, simply to please Krishna. Not to please the egoistic minds of other conditioned souls. That is not the goal of life. People are so much afraid of what people will think of them. They want so much to impress materialistic, greedy people. That's not the goal of life. To please Krishna is the goal of life. To water the root of the tree is the purpose of our existence. This universal form is such a wonderful manifestation of Krishna. When he was living in Vrindavan, once the boys were playing, the gopas. And after the playing, Ram and his friends who were on one side of the game, they complained against Krishna to Yashoda Mai that, do you know what we saw? We saw Krishna. He went to a secluded place and ate dirt. They knew that this would really disturb Mother Yashoda, because Yashoda Mai is so much always thinking of Krishna's welfare. Gopal, you ate dirt. Why did you eat dirt? I did not eat dirt, Mataji. Why you are saying I ate dirt? But your friends, your own brother is saying that you ate dirt. They are telling lies against me because I beat them in our game today. They want me to get punished. Balaram and his friends, no, no, we saw he ate dirt. If you don't believe, then you look in my mouth and you see whether I have eaten dirt. So he opened his little mouth, and Yashoda Mai, she looked inside. And what did she see? At that time, Krishna was still in his Kumara Lila. He was in his very, very young childhood, just above babyhood. He was walking and running, but he was very small. He was less than 4 years old. How big is a 4-year-old child's mouth? Hare Krishna. She looked inside that little mouth, and she saw, to her great astonishment, the entire cosmic manifestation. She saw the universal form, in the sense she saw everything contained within his little mouth. All the oceans, all the planets, all the demigods, all the mountains, all the rivers. How much can you fit in your mouth? You have trouble just putting one glubjman in your mouth. Try to put two at a time and see whether you succeed. Because you are insignificant. You are jiva. You can only fit one glubjman in your mouth. But when Krishna was doing his Govardhan Leela of Anukut, there were probably tens and thousands, lakhs of Glubjamans. And he just put them all in his mouth in a second, along with lakhs of samosas and lakhs of laddus and lakhs of chapatis with fresh Brijabasi ghee on each one. All at once and went into his mouth. Plus big, big srovars of sweet, of kheer, and so many nice shrikhand. We take one or two and we, please take more. No, 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 I cannot. Please, let me out of here. That is because we are jiva. But Krishna is Paramatma. He can do anything, every time, anywhere. No limit. So Yashoda Mai saw the entire cosmic manifestation within the very little mouth of her son. Now you may ask, by analytical standards of geometric possibilities, how is it that the whole cosmic manifestation can fit in a mouth no more than 4 inches in diameter? Hare Krishna. Can you understand? Achintya Shakti. Krishna has inconceivable potencies. He can do anything, anytime. There is no limit. He is the cause of all causes. Yashoda Mai literally saw everything within the mouth of Krishna. And with great reverence, she began to pray, please forgive me for all the times I spanked you. Please forgive me for all the times I chastised you and sent you to bed. I thought you were my child, but you are the absolute truth. You are the source of everything. I worship you. Krishna did not like to see Mother Yashoda in so much Aishwarya Bhav. He wanted to see her in Madhurya Bhav. He wanted to exchange the sweetness of motherly love, not the prayers of a reverential servant to the master. So he closed his mouth, and just by his yogamaya potency, he covered her with so much parental affection that even after seeing the universal form in her son's mouth, she began to think, if I do not give him milk from my breast, he will become sick. He will not be happy. So she put her own milk into his mouth, thinking how much he needs me. That is Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also exhibited the universal form. One day at the house of Srivas Thakur, the devotees came together to have a wonderful kirtan. Would you like to hear this story? Because I am a jivatma, I am not the controller of all controllers. Please have kirtan for 2 minutes and I will come back. Gauranga Prabhu, you can sing. Thank you. One day, the devotees were chanting kirtan in the house of Srivastava. They were singing Krishna's holy names and dancing in great love and devotion. During this kirtan, Sri Advaita Acharya put grass between his teeth. With great humility, he began to dance in ecstasy. During his dance, he assumed the mood of the gopis of Vrindavan during their separation from Lord Krishna. Sometimes he was rolling on the ground in the ecstasy of separation. Tears were flowing from his eyes. His body was trembling and he was just dancing and dancing and dancing. The devotees were dancing with him. This kirtan went on for 6 hours with such enthusiasm that all of the devotees were exhausted. But Advaitacharya, who was old enough to be the father or grandfather for most of them, he just continued dancing and dancing as everyone was loudly chanting Krishna's holy name. Somehow or other, devotees became so exhausted, they appealed to Sri Advaita, "Please, let us end this kirtan." So he ended, and he sat down, and the devotees sat around him. It appeared that he was no longer in this mood of intense separation of gopis. He appeared quite peaceful. Srivas Thakur, his brother, Ramai Pandit, they then decided to go to Ganga to take bath. All the devotees went with them. Advaitacharya was alone in the courtyard of Srivas Thakur's house. Again, he entered into this mood of intense separation of love. And he began crying out, and tears began to flow from his eyes, and he was rolling on the ground. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at his own house, performing his duties at home. But the Lord is the knower of everything, everywhere. He understood that his devotee, Sri Advaita, was suffering due to separation. So Lord Chaitanya immediately, he left his house and went to Srivas's home. There Advaitacharya was all alone. Lord Chaitanya saw him weeping and crying and laying on the ground. Lord Chaitanya, with his own loving hands, he picked up Advaitacharya. And he said, "Sri Advaita, what can I do for you? How can I serve you?" Advaitacharya said, "I am seeing you. There is only one thing I want, and that is you." Lord Chaitanya asked him, "What do you want? What do you want?" Advaita said, "I only want you. And you are standing before me. All my desires are fulfilled." Lord Chaitanya said, "Please ask me for something more." Advaitacharya replied that you are the goal of all the Vedas. You are the ultimate purpose of all the instructions of the Vedas, to please you and to serve you. Now I have you. What more could I possibly desire? Lord Chaitanya said, "Please ask for something more." Advaitacharya replied, "I want to see your power and opulence." Lord Chaitanya replied, "In which way?" Advaitacharya said, "What Arjuna saw on the battle of field of Kurukshetra, please let me see that." Immediately, Advaitacharya found himself sitting on a chariot. Beautiful chariot. And on both sides, he saw massive, massive armies about to fight. And then he looked forward and he saw the beautiful bluish form of Krishna, with four arms holding a conch shell a disc, a lotus flower, and club. Then he saw such a form of Lord Krishna being manifested before his own eyes. All the innumerable universes were included within this form. He saw the sun and the moon. He saw innumerable mountains and oceans and rivers and forests. He saw countless faces, hands, and legs. In each of these faces, there were mouths. And these mouths, there were fire coming out of these mouths. And he saw, just like insignificant moths being devoured by these mouths, all those who were violent or blasphemous to others were being devoured. Countless living beings entering into the mouths of this Virat Rupa. Advaitacharya, upon seeing this, with great humility, took a piece of straw, put it between his teeth with folded hands. He just fell to the ground and started offering his obeisances and his prayers. His heart was filled with bliss. Meanwhile, the Virat Rupa, the universal form, was manifesting more and more of its own powers and opulences before Advaitacharya. Nityananda Prabhu was wandering through the streets of Nadia at that time. As an avadut, he would just wander around, just telling everybody, chant Hare Krishna, chant the names of Gauranga. Anyone who takes the name of Gauranga is my life and soul. So he was wandering like a child through Nadia, and in his heart of hearts, he understood, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is revealing the universal form to Advaitacharya at the house of Srivas. I want to see it. He very rapidly went to Srivas's house. This was all taking place in the temple room. Lord Chaitanya brought Advaita in the temple room. Now you have all been to Srivasangam. Of course it is not the same house. But you can imagine the temple room couldn't have been so big. How does the universal form of the Lord fit in the temple room? Advaitacharya saw all the innumerable universes and all living beings within the temple room. That is the mystic power of the Lord, Yogeshwaram. So Nityananda Prabhu came to the door. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally opened the door. And Nityananda Prabhu came in. And there he saw Advaitacharya with folded hands offering his prayers. And then he looked up and saw Virat Rup. With folded palms he started offering prayers. He had to close his eyes. It was too much to see. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita were in great, great bliss. And Lord Chaitanya began to dance in ecstasy with them. Lord Chaitanya was so happy that Nityananda Prabhu came. He said, please, look, look, look at what I am doing. And he opened his eyes to look. Lord Chaitanya said, Nityananda Prabhu, my life is your property. Anyone who loves you, I will give all of my mercy. Anyone who does not love you, I will never give my mercy. You are my life and soul. He said, anyone who sees a difference between the incarnations of Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu does not understand the truth. They are both the Supreme Personality of Godhead descended to the earth. Lord Chaitanya revealed the supreme identities of his two devotees. This Virat Rupa was so wonderful. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya were just
full with wonder and bliss, seeing this magnificent form, the same form Arjuna had seen on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back to his original swarup. The whole universal form disappeared. Then Lord Chaitanya went home. Meanwhile, Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu were so much in ecstasy. What have we seen? They were just dancing and singing. First Nityananda Prabhu would start singing and Advaita would dance. And then Advaita would sing and Nityananda would dance. Nityananda would sing and Advaita would dance. And they were both just singing and dancing and enlivening one another. They were in so much ecstatic love, they were just showering tears from their eyes. At times they were just rolling all over the courtyard of Srivasa Thakur's house. And then after some time, and they were embracing in such ecstasy, what we have seen. Then they came back to their external consciousness. And out of the sweet ecstasy of love, they began to fight with words. Advaitacharya said to Nityananda Prabhu, "Who gave you permission to come and see this universal form? He was showing it to me. What right do you have to come in on this? You are not invited. You are avadut. Why should you come and see this? Why are you even staying at the house of Srivas? He has lost his intelligence. Nobody knows what your family is. No one knows what you eat or where you eat." Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he responded that I am an avadut and I can do whatever I want, and I want to punch you in the face with my fist. Hari Hari. Anyways, they were lovingly exchanging so many beautiful, beautiful arguments and increasing their love for each other. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, when Advaitacharya and Nityananda have these quarrels, which they had very often, anyone who takes either side will be ruined. Anyone who takes one side and criticizes the other will be destroyed, because they are both simply out of love, of ecstasy, exchanging sweet words. This quarrel of love. Joking. And Vrindavan Das Thakur says, anyone who hears this narration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealing his universal form to Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu will without a doubt attain Lord Krishna. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! Thank you very much. Is there any questions?
Prabhupada, you mentioned that Krishna always gives us a choice.
Huh?
You mentioned that Krishna always gives us a choice whether by our chanting or by services we want adoration in return or dedication. My question is this, if we ask him to not to give us independence, does he obey, does he agree to that kind of prayer, or this kind of fight continues till the very end? In a sense,
why are you asking this question? In the sense, continue.
In the sense, I pray to him that I don't need this independence. I don't want that other choice.
So you want to remain in Maya forever.
Yes?
No, I want the other choice, to dedicate life, but...
He will never take away your free will, because if he takes away your free will, he takes away your power to love him perfectly. And ultimately what the soul wants is love, prem. That prem is intricately related to free will. If you want to be Mayavadi, is that what you like? And you want to merge into Brahmajyoti, for some time you have no free will. That is the only state where there is no exercise of one's free will. When we are in the impersonal state of liberation. However, because it is the nature of the soul to be seeking ras, loving exchange, sometime or other in the future, even in the impersonal state of desireless liberation, that free will again will awaken in your heart. And when the free will awakens in your heart, if you have not developed bhakti, you will choose again to exploit. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Regarding elimination in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When he was traveling in South India, one of his servant, Kala Krishnadas, he fell down. So Prabhupada writes that because even if one is staying with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still if he is not determined, he cannot remain in devotional service. So what is that? It overpowered his determination to serve Lord Chaitanya.
It is not that he cannot remain in devotional service. It is that he becomes separated from the service, he falls down. But Kal Krishnadas ultimately was protected by the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas' mercy is manifested greater than Krishna's mercy. That is an important lesson to learn from this story. That determination is the willingness to use our freedom of choice in the right way. That is called determination. Kal Krishnadas had two choices, either to stay in his service to the Lord as his personal attendant, or to go to the Bataharis where they were alluring him with so many beautiful unchaste women to enjoy. And they were obviously offering him so many forms of material enjoyment. So he had the choice, and he misused his choice. He was not determined to maintain his service. So Prabhupada says, even if you are the personal associate of the Lord, still you have your free will. Still Maya is going to be trying to take you away. We have to be determined to remain faithful. Maya is always trying to take us away from Krishna. She tries to convince us, don't chant all your rounds today. If she succeeds, she's taking you away from Krishna. Don't follow the regulative principles today. It doesn't matter what a high or glorious position we may have, we still have free will. And if we're not determined and very careful, very attentive, we can be distracted. So Kala Krishnadas made a mistake. He made an aparad. But the Lord saved him because he was sincere. He did not let him just go off with the Bataharis and remain. He gave him the fulfillment of his free choice to leave. But then ultimately, because he was in the heart of Kal Krishnadas and he knew How Krishnadas didn't want to fall down. It was an accidental fall down, in the sense that he just became overwhelmed by the momentary temptation. However, in his heart of hearts, he wanted to serve. So the Lord dragged him back. The Bhattacharis didn't like that. Lord Chaitanya went to Bhattacharis and said, "Give me my servant back." They picked up weapons, swords, knives, daggers and axes, clubs, began running to kill Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is the controller of all controllers. He can give life, he can take life. He gave life to the weapons. The weapons just came, forcibly went right out of their hands and started attacking them. They were just big swords and axes just floating in the air, cutting off their arms and cutting off their limbs, and they were screaming and howling and bleeding and running. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And Lord Chaitanya grabbed Kal Krishnadas and said, "You come with me." Lord Chaitanya did not say anything else to him throughout the South Indian tour. But there was a reaction. He fell down by making the wrong choice due to being inattentive and not being determined to remain fixed in his service. We are all in that situation. We have to be determined to be fixed in our service. That determination is the energy of a human being to say no to all other alternatives and remain faithful. We all have that power. Kal Krishnadas had that power, but he didn't use it due to some weak-heartedness. So he had to suffer a terrible pain. When they came back to Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya said, he didn't even look at Kal Krishnadas or even say anything to him. He turned to his associates like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and others and said, "This Kal Krishnadas, he had left me during his service to go off with Bhattacharis. I do not want to see this man's face. Get him out of here." Then Lord Chaitanya left. Kal Krishnadas was devastated. It was worse than death. He just wept and cried. His heart was utterly broken. He got miserable reaction. As he rejected the Lord rejected him. But because ultimately he wanted to serve the Lord, ultimately the Lord gave him service. The Lord wanted to show through this story how my devotees are more merciful than me. Lord Chaitanya rejected him. But Nityananda Prabhu and the other Vaishnavas, they were thinking how to give him some service. That the devotees in Navadvip, Santipur, they have been waiting for 2 years for the Lord to return from his South Indian tour. Several years. Please go to Navadvip and announce that Lord Chaitanya has returned to Puri and the devotees should soon come to see him and narrate the wonderful pastimes that you had. Bring them Jagannath's prasad. So Kal Krishnadas was given a very nice service. He was not allowed to serve as the personal attendant of the Lord, but he was allowed to serve in separation. He went to Navadvip and he met with Sachimata. He met with Advaitacharya, with Srivas Pandit and all the other Vaishnavas. And they all were so pleased to see him. They were showering their mercy and blessings upon him. And he was narrating the wonderful pastimes of Lord Chaitanya's South Indian tour by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Similarly, we have all, since time immemorial, we have rejected Krishna. Have we not? And Krishna has hidden himself from us. He has taken away the chance to serve him because we have rejected him. Therefore, you cannot approach Krishna directly once you reject him. But Krishna's mercy comes through the Vaishnavas. The Vaishnavas, yes, you have rejected Krishna. Yes, you have been rejected by Krishna as reciprocation. But come back, I will give you some service in separation. And through this process, you will become purified and again return to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada traveled around the world. We're all like Krishna dasas. He traveled around the world. You have rejected Krishna. You have no means of approaching Krishna. But here is some service. Chant the holy names of Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
The mercy of the Krishna manifests deeper mercy through his devotees than he does himself directly. That is his pastime. Was I able to answer your question? Any other questions? Yes.
Lord Chaitanya rejected Kal Krishna Das because he wanted to show that one should not go on committing mistakes. Or once one commits mistake, he is again not eligible. But also we are told that thousands of times we fall down accidentally or by our mistakes, we should again rise up. So if Krishna is not accepting us, or once we commit a mistake, how can we compare these two advices? That we have to again rise up after many fall downs also. When we slip many times also, we should again rise up.
Anyone understand the question? I do not understand your question.
Krishna, who is rejecting us once we fall down. And on the other side, we are also told that we should again rise up, even after many fall downs.
This means that you are dependent completely on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That's what it means. Krishna actually never rejects anyone. But because we reject him, he appears to reject us. But he still, you have left him, but he has not left you. He's still within your heart, waiting for you to return, waiting to reveal himself to you as soon as you say, Krishna, I am yours. But he wants to give the credit to his devotees. He wants to express his greatest mercy through his devotees. Therefore, Krishna is within your heart. He will not reveal himself to you directly after you have rejected him. But out of his causeless mercy, he will direct you from within your heart to the lotus feet of a Vaishnava. And that Vaishnava will teach you how to go back to Krishna. That is his causeless mercy. If Krishna would have rejected us, he wouldn't keep inviting us to come back. He wouldn't direct us to that place by which we can perfect our lives. He's always eager to bring every devotee, every living entity to the feet of a Vaishnava. But our problem is we continue to reject again and again. Therefore, Nityananda Prabhu said the price, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained Nityananda's mercy, the price is just to accept it. Stop rejecting it, just accept his mercy. You can perfect your life. All you have to do is accept with faith the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, as Kal Krishna Das did. And you will have Krishna. Does that answer your question? I answered without even understanding your question. If I was able to answer it, it is some other power working through. So I think it is, yes, Madhav, last question.
Maharaj, can we use these two terms, Virat Purush and Virat Rupa, interchangeably? Can we use these terms, Virat Rupa and Virat Purush, interchangeably? Or there's a difference between these two terms?
In general, Virat Purusha means the universal personal form of the Lord.
So it is generally considered the same, as far as I understand. Does anyone have any other understanding? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.